Thank you. I am really glad to be able to get back after I had a talk on the first workshop. Now I can give a talk also on the last one. So the topic is, as it's clear from the title, about shorter paths, and well, it will be also about walk balls. Now, shorter path problems are widely considered in computational geometry. But the problem I will speak about started really long ago, really not even the word computational geometry, but the subject computational geometry did not exist when this problem started. So the problem is one raised by my father, and what he considered packings of objects, convex sets, in a parallel strip, and he called such an arrangement a layer. He defined the permeability of such a layer. The width of the layer or the parallel strip is W, and you consider the shortest path, which avoids all the members of the packing, and goes from one edge of the strip to the other. In particular, he considered layers by congruent circles, and also by layers of parallelograms, really. And this is what he proved. I did not state the theorem for parallelograms, just the special case for squares. So the permeability of a layer of congruent circles is at least square root of 22 over 2 pi, and the permeability of a layer of squares is at least 2 over 3. Now notice that for circles you have congruent circles, and for the squares you don't need that. They can be arbitrary squares there. Both are of course sharp. This is the case of inequality. Yes? They should be just non-accumulating packing, so that you don't have. Yes, but the question is how. What is the worst case? Not a good case. This is the worst case of what you can achieve with balls or circles. This direction. This is the worst case what you can achieve with squares. So you are not interested in. If you make them squares, then of course you can just cross. But you would like to have them densely packed so that they force you to make a big detour. Now we define for convex piece D these two quantities, P sub S D is the infimum of the permeabilities of layers by similar copies of D. And if you consider only congruent copies, then you define the P sub C D. It is an interesting question. You saw that for squares, you can take just similar copies. You don't have to have them congruent. the situation is the very same with parallelograms. Convex this shared the property common with the parallelograms. My father already observed that the circles don't share that property, and here is the construction. Here is an arrangement of circles of two different kinds. Of course, you can cross it, so the permeability of this one is greater than that one with congruent circles. But you see that occasionally, there you can you can just go vertically downwards. That means that you can fill the gaps there with very small circles arranged, for instance, in this previous arrangements of the densest lattice packing. And by this you can already enforce a bigger detour. So this is what you get this way. Of course, now you can iterate the process. Instead of putting there this arrangement by congruent circles, you can put in just what you obtained, just again very small, and you have even a bigger detour. What you have, this is what you obtain in this way, and by a modification, this construction. Dancer proved this bound still a little bit. Now I can show what happens. Of course, if you would like to cross such a hole which is already filled with small circles, then you don't go through the small circles, but you start on the boundary of the circle, and then you go to the boundary of another other circle. And how you do that is indeed goes like that. So at the point where we first or last meet a circle, the sine of the angle of the tangent of the circle is a horizontal line. Is equal to the permeability of the small circles. This is obvious because, this is the detour what you are forced if you go on the circle. This is essential at the point is the sign of this angle, and. You get to a point where the two permeabilities in this sense are equal. And what Dancer did is that instead of taking these horizontal layers, he bent it in a circular way, and that meant that you will travel a little bit less on the boundaries of the big circles. Now, my father also raised the problem, which is obviously a natural one, whether if you have just a packing, not a layer, so and you have two points which are outside of the members of the packing, you would like to connect them by a path by a shortest path, avoiding all the members of the packing. And he asked whether you can do as well as if the distance of the two points is d, then whether you can do it with d over p sub c of d plus a little o d. For congruent copies, and if you have similar copies, then similarly. And this is indeed the problem I'd like to speak about. The first result in this direction was achieved by Janosch, who consider the packings of squares. Of course, you would like to have them uniformly bounded. If they can be arbitrary large squares there, then for the large square you have to go at least twice the distance if you have two opposite points, you know, in order to avoid them. But so for that, the side lengths should not exceed one. And in that case, any two points can be connected by a path avoiding the squares of lengths 3 over 2 times d plus order of square root of d. Well, this is for squares. For circles, already for squares, I succeeded to improve this bound so that it is a sharp bound, and also for circles I could find a bound which is sharp. I'd like to mention a little bit how this works, although this is a quite old result. Also Janosch's result is from this age before computational geometry. We will just consider I do it for circles. For squares it goes similarly, I do it only or sketch the proof only for circles. We consider a point P outside the circles and a direction D. And in that direction we construct an infinite path emanating from this point P and in the direction D. This is a construction how it goes. So you start from P and you go in the direction P until you hit a circle. Then you go around this circle the shorter arc until you get to to the end point of a diameter perpendicular to the direction, and then you continue your way in the direction D until you hit the next one. Now it might occur that you hit one circle just on the top, and then you have two possibilities to go further. Now this is not yet the good construction. Well, you see that you could improve on that way. In fact, what you could do, for instance, if you pull a rope of Ariadne, and then you pull it, then it would be in most cases a little bit shorter. Now, essentially, this is done, but not exactly. So, when you have here a line segment which is in the direction D, then you observe that this green circle there could be put there, and it is that part what you can you here you can round off the road what you have. So this is indeed the construction what you have, and then this was really the construction what my father used for the permeability. And this is the lemma what he really proved that this is indeed a good construction. Now we consider two points A and B and the direction D, A line which goes through B and is perpendicular to D. And we divide it into two half lines according to what is written there. So the now, what we do is if we go from A just perpendicular to the direction of AB in one direction and in another direction, then the line starting from the path starting from A in one direction and the other direction will intersect in one case one of the half lines there and in other case the other half line, which means that you can now rotate it the line and either at one time you get directly to B or occasionally when you hit a top of the circle then you have two different ways to go and in that case it can happen then one of the lines one of the paths goes to the right from B and the other goes to the left but in that case you can start from B another path a similar path and the two will meet and you can combine the two you get then what the theorem this is how and this works indeed for many other cases for squares so generally for parallelograms it works congruent for translates of an arbitrary convex set as well. Now, from now on, I would like to speak really on balls in higher dimension, and what I'd like to do to give a similar bound in any dimension for balls, and this. The method I use is essentially the method what János used. This is an argument about well, a mean value argument. I need some preparation in order to state the theorem. So we are now in n-dimensional Euclidean space, and we introduce coordinates. X1 up to xn and a separate one y, or for short we write it so that both fix x and y. Consider the hyperplane for y equals 0, and then we consider an arbitrary ball. Well, I realize that here I wrote Rn instead of En, so the two are as of course the same. We defined this function L of x so that if this line intersects the boundary of B in two points, then this L sub B x is the length of the shorter one of the shortest arcs on the boundary of B between the two points of intersection. And if not, then just let this function be zero. And we define lambda sub n as the integral over this hyperplane of this function. We also write kappa n for the volume of the unit ball and sigma n for the surface area of the unit ball. Still need some definition in order to state the theorem. If you have an arrangement of convex bodies, then we can define an inner density and an outer density relative to a convex domain B. In one case, consider only those members of the arrangement which are contained in D, and in other case we consider all of them which intersect D. We add up the volumes and divide it by the volume of D. So we get this inner and outer density relative to a given domain. And then the upper density of an arrangement, which is in the whole space, is defined as the Lim sup of the outer density, why you take bigger and bigger balls. And now I can state the theorem. So we consider a packing of open balls in n-dimensional space. And the radii should not exceed 1. Then if you have 2 points at distance d from one another outside the balls, they can be connected by a path which avoids the balls and has length at most this many. So this is 1 minus delta, where this is the upper density, times lambda sub n over kappa sum n times delta, and this is the main term times d, and you have still a remainder term there. Now, I don't go through this, but this is very well known things. What is the volume and the surface area of a ball, and then you can just write this lambda n as an integral. You integrate it and find that this is lambda n. And this means that lambda sub n over kappa sub n is that one. And in particular, you have pi over 4 for the two-dimensional case and 3 pi over 8 for the three-dimensional case. So that means we have the following corollaries. If any types of circles with radii not exceeding 1 are packed in the plane, and we consider 2 points at distance d, then they can be connected by a path avoiding the circles of length 4 over pi times d plus some order of square root d. Now, in free space, the same situation, it's a you have a little bit better constant. And if you have congruent balls in free space, then you can use the celebrated result of Tom Hales, according to which the density cannot exceed pi over root 18, and then you get an even better bond. Now you can also calculate or estimate this quotient lambda sub n over kappa sub n. Using elementary calculus, you find that it is of order 1 plus order 1 of 1 over n, which means that if you go in higher dimension, then the detour what you have to make will be smaller and smaller, will be only of order D over N. Okay, so this is the result, and I'd like to then go on and sketch the proof. Maybe this is a little bit complicated, but I try to explain. So if you have two points, there is a very outside the balls. You have a very natural path which connects them. Namely, you go along the connecting segment whenever you can, and when not, then you just go around the ball around a shorter or shortest arc connecting the two points of intersection. And it's an obvious observation that the path, the length of the path connecting two points at distance d is definitely not greater than pi over 2 over d, because that would be the case if you meet each of the balls just in opposite points. Now we consider just a packing of balls with radii not exceeding 1, and we choose a coordinate system. Well, here is we put A into the coordinate plane y equals 0, and B should be then at the y well 0 y. Now, we, in this coordinate system, we introduce something. Q is a cube in the coordinate hyperplane y equals 0 of length square root of d, or side length square root of d. And R is just the box above this this. And I consider also a little bit bigger. So this is then R, and I consider a little bit bigger cube in the hyperplane, namely it was of length S plus 4. And I consider then also a box above that. Now we also consider the part of the packing of balls which lies between the two hyperplanes, the H and the hyperplane y equals 0, and R and intersect this box R. Of course, everything, the drawing will be in two dimensions, but that because I cannot make it three dimensional here. Okay, so there are the other balls as well. Now we consider for each x the segment connecting these two points. So here is the segment f of x. And on f of x, we consider two points. Namely, the ones which are closest to the hyperplane H and the hyperplanes Y equals D respectively, and the points on these balls. So I show you, this is then D here. Is B. And so here down I don't have any circle or ball going inside to this box R. So this is just on the hyperplane H. And now we just construct this natural path from AX to BX, and its length should be denoted by L of X. Even I divide this into two parts, namely we have the straight segments and the circular arcs which are on the boundary of balls, and the two lengths are denoted by L sub 1x and L sub 2x. So this is the path which I denote P of x. And now for each x which is in this bigger cube, Q star, we can construct a path joining A to B as follows. We just connect A and A to AX and B to BX by a path avoiding, by a shortest path avoiding the balls. And then we combine these. So this is the red paths are those what where we travel from A to AX and from B to BX. And then we combine this and we call that P tilde of T. And now, what is the length of this path? We know that L of X is given, and the two paths, they are a distance, X, A from AX is a distance X, plus possibly two, if you happen, this is definitely an upper bound already. So in this way, we get this this upper bound for this path, which is obviously an upper bound for the shortest path connecting A and B. What we do is we integrate this. The length of the shortest path, which is just a constant on this this cube, and this is what we get. And we would like to estimate further the integral of L of x dx. And for that we introduce f is just the part of R which is covered by the balls, and G is which is not, and similarly for the bigger box R star. And then here is how we can estimate this integral. Of course, if I integrate instead of Q on Q star, it's definitely not less. I divide it into two parts. If you integrate the straight segments of the path on this cube, then you obviously get the volume what is not covered by the balls. So this is the first integral is just the volume of G star. For the other integral there, we integrate for each ball separately. So we get this sum. For a given ball, this is just it was defined this quantity so that this is the volume times this constant. So this is what we get. And now we have to make another observation, which is quite an obvious one, that the inner density of an arrangement relative to a space-filling domain cannot exceed the upper density of the arrangement. Well, it is important that it is a space filling, because if you have a space filling region and you have the balls all inside it. You can just repeat it, and you get a density which obviously cannot exceed the upper density. And using that, we get then this. We have to use also the fact that lambda sub n over kappa sub n is smaller than n. So indeed, we get this first integral, and we just substitute that into the earlier inequality, and we get what we wanted. So it's indeed an easy thing. Now I'd like to make some comments on it, and also I'd like to mention still some unsolved problems here. Now. First, we consider instead of a ball an arbitrary convex body in n-dimensional space. We choose a direction u, and we arrange it the coordinate system. We choose it so that that it should be the y equals zero. Hyperplane should be just perpendicular to this direction, and we define this function L sub k x and u in a very similar way as we defined it for balls. Line L of x intersects the boundary of k in two points, then we go we consider the shortest arc on the boundary or one of the shortest arcs of the boundary, and otherwise it's just zero. And then introduce in a very similar way the integral. So this is lambda sub k u, and we take then the minimum of is it? No, I excuse me. Here I made a mistake. I wanted to write a maximum obviously. if you repeat now this argument, you can have packings of arbitrary sets. Even you can rotate it, rotate them, and this is what you get. And you see, obviously, you need the maximum and not the minimum. Now it is an interesting question. What is this? To have some information about this this quantity lambda sub k, and in particular to have a bound on this quotient. So it is very likely that for any convex body it is in n dimension, it probably is of order 1 plus 1 over n for any convex body. But this is a weak conjecture, I would state. It would be nice to have it. It would be nice to compute this even for the three-dimensional cube. András Bezdek considered this shortest path problem for cubes in three dimensions, and he proved that that any two points at distance d can be connected by a path of length three over two times d plus something smaller. maybe if you could calculate this integral, well, if you just have a cube with, where one of the faces lies in this, so if you your direction is perpendicular to one of the, your face, then you get four over three, which is better than the constant what András has. But it seems to be not an obvious thing to calculate this integral for all rotated copies. No, he did something completely different. So he's he did not have a conjecture. So I don't know, and we don't have a conjecture even for three-dimensional balls. So well, it is well, we don't know too much about higher dimensions. Maybe yes, but so I don't know that anybody had a conjecture about three-dimensional balls. It's then, of course, again, a question whether if you consider, for instance, three-dimensional balls, whether you can do a similar construction with not necessarily congruent balls. It is very likely that with cubes, even in three dimension, it is it doesn't matter whether the cubes are congruent or just any cubes. Okay, now I'd like to mention another problem. Well, if you have compact sets which cover the space, then the part of the space which is covered at least twice is connected. So you can formulate a dual counterpart of this problem, namely you have two points in at least doubly covered part of the space, and you would like to connect them by a path which stays in at least a doubly covered part. So this is indeed a dual counterpart of the problem we considered so far. Well, I'd like to of course you can ask all the questions what we considered for packings, but I'd like to emphasize one special case, namely the case of congruent circles in the plane. So this is an arrangement of covering or part of a covering of the plane by congruent circles, and this is the best construction I could find. As a matter of fact, this is the worst construction which forced us to a greatest detour. So that circle is not tangent to this other one, but it is very close. So in that case, you cannot just go from this point B to the to this other circle or to this point where you could go then further only by going to this point of intersection and from this point of intersection then you get there. And you have the very similar situation there. Now, then this is what you get. This forces you to a detour of square root 2 times d, plus this is a constant. Well, I did not want to give an explicit formula for it because it's very complicated if you would like to find it. And now the question arises whether you can connect any two points which lie in double, at least doubly covered, covered part of the plane by a path which remains in that part and has lengths not exceeding square root 2 times d plus a constant where maybe even plus little o of d. It's probably a constant only, and you don't need the little o d here. Now, this seems to be an easy problem, but it turned out, I mentioned it at several places already, and so far not too many results are known about that. There are two results. Maybe first I mention still generalization of this question. Namely, you have two special paths which, if you have a covering by circles, you have two special paths which remain in that doubly covered part. You can use the boundary of the circles because obviously the boundary of each circle has to be covered by another circle as well. But you can use also the Dirichlet Voronoi, the sides of the Dirichlet Voronoi cells, which also are obviously in doubly covered part. And now these are the stronger conjecture that if you have a situation like that, then you can connect any two points which well, you have to start on the boundary of the circles which lie on the boundary of the circle by a path of length pi over 2 times d plus a constant, and any two points which are on the boundary of some Dirichlet cell can be connected by a path of length square root 2 times d plus a constant, so that the square root 2 can be possibly done even by going just on the sides of the Dirichlet cells. Now, no, these are two different things, completely different. Maybe if you possibly yes, but it's not so obvious because the Dirichlet cells you can have very small Dirichlet cells if you pack them or cover very densely. Then you have parts which are covered not twice but say 10 times as well. From there to going to the boundary of one of the Dirichlet cells is far away, so it does not follow directly. So probably you need, if you would like to prove the conjectures, you probably need two different arguments for that. Now, András Bezdeg, with a student, confirmed the second conjecture, but only for lattice arrangements, so not for general arrangements. And there is a bound by Edgardo Roldán Pensado. He can prove that any two points lying in at least doubly covered part of the plane at distance d from one another can be covered by connected by a path of this length. The constant he has is 70 or less than 74. It doesn't really matter, because that is something like 2.7 or so, so which is very far from square root of 2. Essentially, it's a double of square root of 2. But even there, his construction is not obvious at all. It's a very elegant argument. Also, I'd like to mention still that of course, it is still a more difficult problem if you consider, instead of packings and coverings, multiple packings and multiple coverings. Of course, if you have a k-fold packing, then the set of points which are not covered with a multiplicity greater than k minus 1 is connected, and similarly, if you have a k-fold covering, then the points which are covered at least k plus 1 times is also connected. So you can ask the problem there. Now, these are very difficult problems, of course, but for k-fold packings, you can repeat the argument what we did for the single packings. And you remember you had there the density of the packings. Now, if you have congruent balls a k-fold packing by congruent balls. Well, you know that the density is at most k. That is a trivial bound. But if you are in high dimension, few has a bound which shows that with the dimension, the density of the density k-fold packing by unit congruent balls goes to zero exponentially, which means that if you are if k is not too great compared to the dimension, then you can go still with not too much detour, indeed, which detour which is of order 1 over n, which is a little bit surprising, but. Coverings, the argument unfortunately does not work. So, thank you for your attention. I'd like to end this.
Guess that if you ask the same question, that somehow the answer would be, in a way, partly connected to the two-dimensional case where, when you pack congruent balls, because you need to be packed in a parallel fashion, and then.
But of course, if you it depends. If you pack them parallel, then in some direction you can go very easily. You don't have any. obstacles there, and in other directions probably it would be just what you get for circus or what for the base, but it's not obvious. But if you can rotate them, then indeed, well.
Yeah.
Of course, as I mentioned, if you calculate this lambda for the ellipse or ellipsoid, you get some bound. And Well, for a general ellipsoid, I don't know. Maybe it's not so difficult to calculate because it is still essentially, probably by some changing of the variables, you can get back to the to the ball. But so and probably it's still the if you consider the, where is the volume concentrated, this is still obviously concentrated on the boundary of one of the intersections there. But I did not try to calculate that. Well, if you you have well, it depends on what you have. Well, if you have, for instance, balls, then you you get to the problem of not necessarily congruent circles. If you have now, if you have as a matter of fact, for just for balls, I can give you a sort of answer, namely, if you have well. Also, with a conjecture. Well, if you have a packing of congruent balls and you take an intersection, then it is conjectured that you cannot have a greater density than with congruent ones. Now, this is not a theorem, but at least you know that you cannot have a greater density than the Rogers bound in the intersection for congruent balls. So that means if you are forced to travel on a hyperplane, that means in for balls you would get the at least here the bound with a density bound one dimension lower. So, well, not quite. So,
avoiding the body, the idea is to exploit the body because.
But you have to have some function. What it means to go through the body.
Come out the other side, anywhere you like, free of cost. Yeah, but go outside the body. It's
so. Well, this is an interesting question, but I don't know whether that. Yes, but it makes sense, of course, but.
So the fact is, because if you have touching a lot of your concrete, you have a lot of touching. Yeah, then.
Yeah,
then
you can get
from
one
right.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, it's a different problem which I did not consider.
If there are no more questions, thanks again.